Turn with me in the Holy Scriptures tonight to the fifth chapter of Paul's first epistle to Timothy, 1 Timothy 5. My text tonight is made up of verses 3 through 8 and verse 16. I preach this sermon tonight at the request of the deacons. They have requested a special sermon on their work, and in response to that request, this sermon tonight. The Word of God at 1 Timothy 5, verse 1. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren. The elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters, with all purity. Honor widows, now beginning with verse 3 through verse 8, the text. Honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephews, better grandchildren, children or grandchildren, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. And these things give in charge that they may be blameless. But if any provide not for his own, and specially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. But the younger widows refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation, because they have cast off their first faith. And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully, for some are already turned aside after Satan. And then verse 16 as well, if any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged, that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men they follow after. Likewise also, the good works of some are manifest beforehand, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid. There ends our reading together of the Word of God. May the Lord add His blessing to our reading of the Holy Scriptures. In this passage from 1 Timothy 5, the Apostle Paul gives instruction regarding the work of the deacons, the work of the church through the office of deacon. He does that by considering the case of those in Bible times who were in the greatest physical need, and that is the case of the widows. He speaks in this passage of the responsibility that the deacons have to provide for the widows, those at least who are widows indeed. Just as was the case with the office of elder or bishop, the apostle laid down the qualifications for those who are to serve in that office in 1 Timothy chapter 3, and then in chapter 4, as well as in our chapter towards the end, gives instruction with regard to the work and calling of those who are elders, so in the case with the deacons. Earlier in chapter 3, the apostle laid down the qualifications, the spiritual qualifications for those who are to serve as deacons in the church. And now he comes to the consideration of the duty that the deacons have. Although earlier there was necessarily some consideration of the work of the deacons, consideration of their work in connection with the very name for their office. They are deacons, and insofar as the qualifications themselves imply the work that falls to those who possess these qualifications. But now, in a very focused way, the apostle takes up the subject of the work of the deacons. In connection with this subject and the apostle's instruction in our text, there are other matters that are treated in this fifth chapter of 1 Timothy. The apostle treats, for example, a certain number of widows who have a special calling in the church in relationship to the deacons, a special group of widows who assist the deacons in carrying out certain aspects of their work. He speaks of these widows in verse 9 when he says, "Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man." And he speaks in verse 11 of rejecting younger widows from this number. But the younger widows refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry. In this chapter, the apostle also speaks of the behavior of the women in the church. the younger women. And he gives in verse 14 a beautiful description of the will of God for younger women in the church. I will, therefore, that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. The will of God ordinarily. There are exceptions, exceptions that God Himself makes, but ordinarily, this is the will of God for the younger women. And he comes back to treatment of the calling of the elders, especially the elders who rule well and who labor in the word and doctrine. He's talking in particular about the ministers, those who are not only ruling elders, but who are teaching elders in Christ's church. But these all stand related to the main subject of this chapter. And the main subject is the subject that is treated in our text, the work of the deacons. I call that to your attention tonight, the work of the deacons. Let's notice together, first of all, the nature of their work, what specifically their work is. Let's notice, in the second place, the objects of their work. Who especially is the focus of the work of the deacons? And then finally, the importance, the great importance of this office and the work that is connected to this office in the church of Jesus Christ. It is the responsibility of the church to help the poor. It is the responsibility of the church to help the poor by providing them with material goods. Goods that consist of food and of clothing, money and shelter, or whatever else the poor may lack. That's verse 16. If any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them. Relieve them. That's the calling, the relief of the poor. Not only is it the calling of the church to minister to the spiritual needs of God's people. Not only is it the calling of the church to supply the lack that we all have spiritually by ministering to us the bread and the water of life, the gospel of grace and salvation. That is the spiritual food for the souls of God's people. Not only, I say, is that the calling of the church, but besides that calling, there is also the calling of the church to provide for the physically poor, to satisfy the material needs that God's people may have, to collect from the abundance of the members of the congregation, all of the members of the congregation, so that those who lack physically may have that lack satisfied. This is the responsibility of the church. This is not the responsibility simply of the individual members of the congregation, although certainly an individual member may provide relief to some other member of the church that they know to be in want, to drop off some groceries, to write them a check, to pay some of their Christian school tuition, certainly. But the responsibility is primarily the responsibility of the congregation as a whole. The congregation as a whole, through the office that Christ has instituted within the congregation. Verse 16, if any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged. The church, that it, that is the church, may relieve them that are widows indeed. Just as the church preaches the gospel through the office of the minister, and just as the church exercises oversight and rule through the office of the elder, so does the church, through the office of deacon, provide relief for the poor. Thus mercy is distributed to the poor in the name of the great office bearer of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as in the Old Testament, there were three special offices, prophet, priest, and king, so are there three special offices in the church of the New Testament, minister, elder, and deacon. But just as it was the case in the Old Testament, that all of those offices were the office of Christ, were all of them fulfilled by Jesus Christ, so in the New Testament, all of the offices are fundamentally only aspects of the one office in the church, the office of Jesus Christ. When the church, therefore, through the office of deacon, relieves those who are poor, when the church, through the office of deacon, provides instruction to those who are poor, ordinarily necessary instruction, when the church, through the office of deacon, brings the word for the comfort and for the encouragement of those who are poor, it is Christ Himself who is showing compassion to the poor. Christ Himself who is relieving their need. Christ Himself who is instructing and perhaps even admonishing them. And it is Christ Himself who is encouraging them and comforting them. This truth about the nature of the work of the deacons is brought up in the passage in connection with the treatment of widows. The reason why the passage speaks of widows and really makes the widows the only object of the work of the deacons is not that the work of the deacons is confined to the widows. We mustn't understand the apostle tonight to be teaching that the work of the deacons is only a work with older, single women who have been bereaved of their husbands. It is not only widows who need help physically and financially, and it is not only widows to whom the deacons must respond in their distress. That's plain from the fact that if these widows are also mothers, then the assistance that the deacons extend to them is to the orphaned children of these widows. Besides, Holy Scripture itself provides us with sufficient examples of the work of the deacons, the work of the church in benevolence, that makes very plain that widows are not the only focus of the work of the deacons. Think of the time of the apostles, the collection that the apostle Paul took throughout his missionary journeys for the poor. The poor church at Jerusalem, because of a famine in that part of the world. Clearly, others were relieved by that collection that the apostle took up than merely the widows in the congregation at Jerusalem. But the reason on account of which the apostle speaks of widows in the text is that in Bible times, it was the widows especially that required physical and financial help. They were the outstanding example of those who stood in need of relief. The fact of the matter is that the office of deacon arose in connection with the care of widows. Acts chapter 6 makes that plain, the care of the Grecian widows. James 1, you will remember, defines pure and undefiled religion. Religion that is more than just talk, but is truly religion in the sight of God as visiting and providing relief for the fatherless and the widows in their distress. This emphasis upon the widows in the New Testament is in harmony with the prominence of the widows in the Old Testament over and over again. In the Psalms and in the prophecies, references made to the widows, to God as the helper of the widows, God as the judge of the widows, God who shows a special care for the widows among His people, and God who judges those who turn the other way and refuse to help the widows, or who, what is worse, take advantage of the widows in their distress. The church carries out her calling to assist the needy, the members of the church now who are needy, represented by the widows, by giving to the deacons the means to help them, by giving to the deacons money in the collection plate, but also by giving to the deacons food and clothing or whatever else is needed for the care of the poor, in order that in turn the deacons may distribute these things to the poor in the name of Jesus Christ. This is the calling of the deacons, both the collection and the distribution of the goods of the congregation. Behind that calling of the deacons is the calling of the members of the church, each of us, to see to it that the deacons have sufficient means to satisfy the needs of our poor, to give liberally in the offerings, not to make ourselves poor in order to provide for the poor. That's not the calling. But the calling is, out of our abundance, to provide for the poor. An important question is the question, who among the poor are worthy objects of the distribution of the deacons? Who ought they to be ministering to? This is a question that the deacons struggle with. That's not always an easy question. Undoubtedly, it belongs to the difficulty of that question, coming to the answer to that question that prompts the request of the deacons for the sermon tonight. Deacons struggle with this question. They ought to struggle with this question. This belongs to the heart of their work as deacons. The scriptures make plain, and our form for the ordination of deacons makes plain, that the work of the deacons requires prudence and discretion, that is, great wisdom. Wisdom to know who are the worthy objects of the relief of the church, and to what extent ought the deacons to help those who are in need. On the one hand, that brings out the fact that the qualifications for the office of deacon are no less important than are the qualifications for the office of elder. We must never suppose in the church, and that must not be the way in which we think practically in the church, that the office of deacon is a lesser office in the church. An office, really, that is training ground for the office of elder. Not so. This office stands on a par with the office of elder in the church. And the qualifications for this office in the church are as vitally important as are the qualifications for the office of elder. Great wisdom is required. In my 25 years of experience in the pastorate, I have said and I have thought more than once, I could be an elder. I could be an elder if God called me to that office. But I don't see how I could be a deacon. I don't think I could. From a natural point of view, looking at realistically the gifts that God has given me and what is required of deacons, especially what is required of deacons today. I couldn't do it. Wisdom. A great deal of wisdom in order to determine those who are worthy objects of benevolence. That the deacons must make this determination as a part of their work comes out in verse 16. If any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged, that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. That implies that a judgment must be made. That implies that the deacons must make a judgment. Who are they who really need the help of the church? Who are they who are not just widows, but are widows indeed? That question, the worthy objects of benevolence, is an important question for the deacons and for the congregation. First of all, the proper objects of the work of the deacons are the poor within the congregation. It was not all of the widows in the city of Ephesus that the Apostle Paul admonishes Timothy to have a care for and whose needs are to be met. Not at all, but the widows in the church of Ephesus, of which Timothy was the pastor. So today, not all the poor in the whole wide world is the responsibility of the church. Not all of the poor in the city of Hudsonville is the responsibility of the diaconate of Trinity. But Trinity's diaconate is responsible before God for the care of the poor of her own fellowship. That first. Now that does not imply that one congregation may not give assistance to another congregation. That happened in the apostles' day. Paul took up a collection in all the other congregations for the poor saints in the congregation at Jerusalem. And certainly one diaconate may request of other diaconates in the denomination the help and the assistance for the poor in their own congregation. There's even a warning in that regard. A warning in Article 83 of the Church Order, right towards the end of the Church Order. Furthermore, to the poor, removing for sufficient reasons, so much money for traveling shall be given by the deacons as they deem adequate. The consistory and the deacons shall, however, see to it that they be not too much inclined to relieve their churches of the poor, with whom they would without necessity burden other churches. There is a calling that we have mutually within the denomination, one diaconate with regard to another. And one diaconate must not be too quickly inclined to relieve itself, especially of a very difficult case, by encouraging a family or an individual to remove their membership to another congregation or even to move to a different community. Nor is it the implication even of the text that the church may not help unbelieving persons whom God places across the path of the church. That may happen. That has happened in the history of our churches and diaconates. The Apostle Paul talks about that possibility in Galatians 6, verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. That may happen. Nevertheless, the first and the primary responsibility of the deacons is the poor in our own congregation. The church does not have the calling and ought not to feel burdened with the calling to alleviate world hunger. Nor ought the church to be burdened with the intolerable burden of removing all poverty and homelessness out of the world. It is plain from one end of Scripture to the other that the responsibility of the church and the responsibility of the deacons is the care of the poor in our own congregation. We need to be reminded of that today. The deacons receive such letters inviting and asking for assistance in alleviating the hunger and the poverty of peoples who are hundreds and thousands of miles away. Not only ought the deacons not to be involved in that sort of enterprise because they have no insurance and they're not in a position to accompany that relief with the words of Scripture and the instruction and teaching of the Word of God, part of which is the admonition that we not seek Christ merely on account of our interest in carnal things, but also because it simply is not the calling from Christ that we relieve the poor outside of our own congregation. Secondly, the proper object of the help of the deacons is the poor, one who is lacking the basic necessities of earthly life. That's brought out by the apostle in the text when he speaks of the widows. And that's especially why he speaks of the widows. We can't appreciate that. We can't appreciate the vulnerable position that widows were placed in the days of the apostle. When we think of a widow, we think certainly of the distress that is theirs because they've lost their mate. They're bereaved of their life's companion. And to be sure, that is a grievous loss. But for the widow, in the apostles' day, there was more. There wasn't a life insurance policy that would provide for her needs. There wasn't Social Security and some form of government assistance to provide for her needs. She was left alone, and being left alone, that meant that she had no means of earthly support. There wasn't a pension plan either that she could utilize. She was altogether alone with no means of livelihood. To say widow in the apostles' day was to say poor, very poor. Unless the widow received some assistance, the help of the church, she was exposed undoubtedly to poverty, to starvation, to death. When the apostle tells us that the proper care of the deacons is the widows. He brings out that the proper object of the deacons is the needy, those who are truly needy. It belongs to the apostles' use of the widows as the outstanding example of those who are in need that he makes reference to someone who is needy through no fault of her own, through the circumstances that God has arranged, not through her own foolishness. She is needy. Sadly, that is not always the case. And that belongs to the difficulty that the deacons face. Especially in our day, it is often the case that those who are in need of the help of the deacons are needy because of their own foolishness. And by the time they come to the deacons, they come with 3 or 4 credit cards that are maxed out. And their desperate situation is that they have payments due on all of these credit cards, and the creditors are knocking at the door. I am not saying, do not understand me to be saying tonight that the deacons have no responsibility to those who are in this situation. They do. And it belongs to their responsibility to those who are in this situation that they give instruction to them to be charitable. It happens. I have known it to happen that people, out of desperation, exactly because they do not want to go to the deacons, are borrowing and borrowing and borrowing and putting off going to the deacons. The deacons have a responsibility to such. They do. But if I may give wise counsel tonight, if you find yourself in this situation, do not wait to go to the deacons. The deacons would much rather have you at their meeting when you are in need before all of the credit cards are maxed out. Turn to them. Look to them for the help that they are able and are called to give before you get in that situation. The poor, they are the object of the care of the deacons. But there is more. Not only is the church not responsible for taking care of all the widows in the whole wide world, but the church is not even charged with all of the widows in the church. The apostle makes clear that a distinction must be made. A distinction must be made between the widows and those who are widows indeed. Widows in the congregation who are in need of help, in distinction from widows who are not. The apostle makes that distinction in verse 3. Honor widows that are widows indeed, he says. And again in verse 5. Now she that is a widow indeed, he says. And in that 16th verse. If any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged, that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. Those who are only widows are not to be helped by the church, but those who are widows indeed. The apostle explains what he means. He explains what he means in verses 5 and 6. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. That, first of all, is the distinction that he makes. Widows who are desolate and widows who are not desolate. And then he further explains the distinction in verse 4. But if any widow have children or nephews, the word is a broad word for relatives there, that second word, but it's clear that the apostle means grandchildren here, children or grandchildren, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents or grandparents, as the case may be. A widow indeed is a widow who is utterly alone. Not only is her provider and her protector, the breadwinner, taken away from her, but she has no children nor grandchildren. She's cast wholly upon God. She is desolate, says the apostle in verse 5. Those who are widows indeed, the church is responsible for. An important principle comes out here, a principle that the deacons are concerned to honor. That principle is the responsibility of families. The responsibility that families have for the care of family members, particularly the responsibility that we have towards our parents and our grandparents. This is not something that the deacons require. This is what God requires. There is a real danger in our age of pleasure madness, our age of self-seeking, that the responsibility for the care of aged parents is pushed off. Pushed off, let us say, exclusively on the government. I'm not saying there are no programs like Social Security that the members of the church may legitimately take advantage of. But what I am saying is that it's a real danger that we cast the responsibility for the care of aging parents and grandparents on others, on the government, while we live in pleasure, enjoying all of the good things that this world has to offer. What the apostle is teaching here is that we have a clear responsibility, a covenantal responsibility, a responsibility first to the members of the family for the care of other family members who are in need. The deacons will ask, have you gone to your family? When a family cares for its aged and widows and the other members of the family who may be in need, they are carrying out their responsibility before God. The apostle says in verse 4, to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Requite, in a way, to pay them back for all of the time and all of the energy that they have expended on you. The important principle that the apostle underscores by the dreadful warning of verse 8, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own household, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Verse 4, this is genuine piety, to show piety, first of all, at home. Piety is reverence for God. reverence for God begins at home. The work of the deacons in caring for the poor in the church is an important and a necessary work. First, its importance is that the poor have their needs met. Always there's the danger in the church that we do not have an eye of mercy towards the poor. There's always the danger that we take the attitude, I can make it. I have made it. They should be able to make it. There's always the danger that we shut up the bowels of our mercy. The text warns us against that. And the text calls us to open up not just our billfolds, but our hearts for the poor in the congregation. Not so that they may have a second income. Not so that they may be raised up to the average level of the income of the families of the church. Not so that they may wear the latest fashions or drive the latest automobile, but so that their needs may be met. And thus, the necessities of earthly life may be provided, and the misery to which they otherwise would be exposed, they are delivered from. That, first of all, is the importance of the office. But the importance of the office doesn't end merely in the satisfying of the needs of the poor. The importance of their office is that Christ is manifest in the congregation. Christ isn't only manifest in the preaching of the Word on the Lord's Day, manifest in His cross as the merciful Savior who delivers His people from their sins. Christ isn't only manifest in the office of elder, in His rule over us, and in His keeping of us in the right way, in order that now we may experience God's blessing and be preserved through the blessing of eternal life and heaven. But Christ is also manifest in the office of deacon. What a glorious manifestation there is of our Savior in the office and work of the deacons. The cross of Christ is magnified, and Christ is shown through the work of the deacons to be a merciful Savior who cares for the needs of His people. And it belongs to the importance of the office of the deacons also that the congregation is blessed through their work. Members of the congregation experience the love and the care of the other members of the congregation. The love and care shown through your deacons. Then the congregation is built up in unity. The congregation is strengthened in our fellowship and friendship to one another. That belongs to the work of the deacons. And we may be thankful to God that their work and office contributes in that very significant way to the unity of our congregation. Amen. Father in heaven, bless Thy word. Bless it to us all. Bless it especially to the deacons in our congregation. Encourage them in their work. a difficult and demanding work. Grant unto them wisdom. Grant unto them hearts of mercy. And through their labors, may the poor in our congregation not only have their needs met, but be ministered to by the Savior, Jesus Christ. In His name, amen.